Well, this morning we're back over in the areas two is talking about the name above every name, which is the name of Jesus. We've been on this some time now. There's just things that the Holy Ghost just keeps talking to me about, things that we want to emphasize, because we need to understand when we're dealing with the Word of God, and I've been talking about this a lot, and the Holy Spirit's been really dealing with me, is so much of Christianity in general, their concept about the Word of God as just being good principles and things. We need to understand this, that the Word of God is for one group of people. There's two covenants that are in this book. The covenant of the law was written for the Jew. It wasn't written for the Gentile. It was written for the Jew. The Jew had the law. And that we need to understand this. The new covenant now is written to the believer or to the Christian. If a person doesn't enter the covenant doesn't belong to them. It's just like, you know, a company might out here sell you a product or whatever. You buy a home and you take a loan. They give you a loan. Everybody in the world don't get their name put on that loan just because, you know, they give out loans. It's whoever that loan is to. Well, it's the same way. We need to understand the Word of God is designated for a certain people. You don't join the group. You're not entitled to any of the benefits. People need to understand this. The entitlement of the benefits are to the folks who are in the covenant. And we're teaching about the use and the things of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is given to believers. That we read in Mark 16, he said to the disciples, you go out and preach the gospel. He said, these signs follow them who believe in my name. These signs are going to follow. And he told them what signs would follow. Those signs follow the ones who believe. Those signs are not for every person. They are for any person can enter the covenant, but until a person enters the covenant, those things don't belong to that individual. And so we need to understand this. You know, we talk about healing, salvation, healing, whatever it is, finances. The things that God wants to provide and has provided a means for His people, they are for His people. Healing's not for everybody. God will heal people outside the covenant to get them to come in, but if they don't turn around and start responding and come in, God will turn around and won't keep healing the individual. God may ring the dinner bell of healing to get a person in, but if they don't come, they don't just keep, well, I'm going to believe and get healing. It ain't going to work. You got to come into the covenant. And this is what we need to know. The things that we have are entitled to the people in the covenant. In other words, there's things that belong to us. One of the greatest problems we deal with in areas of why people don't enter into certain things, whether it's healing, finances, whatever the word supplies, peace, joy, rest, is because people are, instead of realizing and understanding it's a benefit of the covenant, no, instead, most Christians are trying to get it. If you're trying to get healing, you missed it. Healing's in the covenant. It's already in it. It's a provision of the covenant. You know, it's sort of like you go to work at some place and they say, well, maybe after 30 or 90 days or whatever, then you get the, certain benefits now that you've entered, so you could get. Maybe they have, you could get health care, blah, blah, different things that you get. You know, you might come in and now you'll be hooked up into the retirement system and blah, blah, blah. You don't have to go seek none of that. You don't have to try to, you don't have to run to their door and pray and ask them to give it to you. It's an automatic. You know, healing's automatic. It ain't taught as automatic, and that's why people have so much trouble with it. It's an automatic. When I found out healing was in the covenant, folks, you don't have to be Christian a long time to figure this out. I figured this out after a couple of months as a baby Christian, just listening to some decent teaching on healing. You know, I don't listen. You know, I sit down lots of times listening to, you turn on television, some guys talk about healing. You know how many times I just sit there and laugh and think, oh my God, what children messing around out there and that stuff. Got millions of followers and don't know what they're talking about. They got people seeking stuff and trying to get stuff and trying their best, trying to get God to bless them. It's too late. He already did it. You're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you don't walk in it, that's your problem. It's not God's. See, you have to come down the place and understand that it is given. It's just part of the covenant. But it's not for everyone. It's not for ones who don't enter the covenant. And you enter the covenant not by works. You don't have to pay to get in. It's just faith in Christ. You don't even have to do an interview. You know, you go to get a job, they do interviews. You don't have to do an interview. You just don't have to do a thing. Faith in Christ, you can come in. Hallelujah. If they did interviews, none of us would have got in. If you had to meet qualifications to get there, the only qualification is faith in Christ. That's it. Faith in Christ. So we enter into a covenant, and these are the things that we need to know is teaching concerning the name of Jesus. It's something that belongs to the believer. It's not something that you as a believer are trying to get. You're not trying to come into one day that that belongs to you, or you get permission now that you can use it. The only reason people don't, it's lack of knowledge. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need to gain knowledge of what we have. Most people are trying to get something and don't have the knowledge that it's theirs. They've been taught a knowledge, if you're just real good and you do this, then you get it. Or if this, that. And really, they don't follow what the truth of the Word of God. It is, it belongs to you. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross and was raised from the dead, on His death on the cross, He took our sins. But He also, the Bible tells us, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's already done. Really, to ask Jesus to take your sickness away is really unscriptural. Trying to get healing is an unscriptural thing. You know, I hear people over the years, people come and say, well, you know, I'm believing God for healing. I don't ever believe God for healing. I don't have to believe Him for it. I already got it. I'm just supposed to believe I receive it. It don't tell me to believe for anything. Quit believing for stuff and believing, you start believing you got something. Start believing that you have something from God. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to believe He's already given you the things. You've already entered the covenant. The covenant is paid for. Everything about the covenant's paid for. We're not trying to earn it. And we need to get that clear in ourselves, because it's not clear in teaching today. Teaching out here, a lot of teaching is not clear. They're saying a lot of things and using scriptures, and scriptures and things are right, but they're giving a wrong perception about things that things don't really belong to. We're still trying to get them. We're still trying to attain stuff. Our attaining to things is finding out the knowledge of God, of what God has already given us in Christ Jesus. In His name. In other words, Jesus, when He told the disciples to go out, just think about this. His last words were to His disciples weren't all these things that they had to work for, or all these things that they had to do to achieve. Guys, get ready to leave. And He said, you guys go, you got there, you preach the gospel, these signs follow them to believe. This is just what happens. You go out and preach this gospel. So the gospel is a fact, is this gospel is a gospel of signs. So you can know this today. The gospel does not preach much. The gospel is preached very little in America. Yet you get these preachers and they'll stand and tell you they preach the gospel. No, they don't. Because they don't preach the gospel of signs. Signs are trying to, was something we're trying to work up. We're trying to get. We're a gospel of signs. It says these signs follow. Well, it does it or does it? The reason it don't, because people are trying to attain something. Instead of believing, this just goes with it. The name of Jesus just goes with you. It's yours. When Peter went to the gate beautiful, he didn't stop and fast and pray for 20 minutes there and go through some big rigmarole or anything like that. The signs followed. In other words, the signs are following him. The signs are, one translation which I'd even like better, because it says instead of follow, it says they accompany. In other words, they do. Miracles accompany the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Every believer should have a life of miracles. From the time that I got born again, our family had miracles. It's because I had the true gospel preached to me. I said, thank God, God spared me from going to a church. Every time I went to go to a church that people said was a good church and I'd try to go there, God would say to me, don't you go there. God would tell me not. I was sitting around, I was sort of frustrated for a long period of time because I wanted to go to a church. You know, today people, if God told them not to go to church, they'd be so darn happy, they'd just be so glad, because they didn't want to go anyhow. When I got born again, I wanted to get around believers. But God was interested in the fact that I heard the truth. He kept telling me, He wanted me to buy, at that time He didn't have CDs, tapes, and He'd tell me to buy Kenneth Hagin's tapes and stuff on teaching, and I used to listen to those and listen to them and listen to them and listen to them, and I'd sit and listen to these things, and I'll tell you, I would go to my bedroom, and I'd go in my bedroom, and I'm going to tell you, I'd go in and I'd meet God. I'd go in my bedroom. I had more supernatural times in my bedroom, going and meeting God. But see, I didn't have a bunch of religious teaching telling me to try to find God, trying to tell me to, a lot of people, well, we fast and pray because we're trying to get God to do something. God don't do something because you fast and pray. If God didn't want to do it, all your fasting and praying ain't going to get him to do it anyhow, so forget it. Fast or pray, seek God, is to hook up with God because I want to find out what he's doing, where he's going, what he's up to. I want to know what he's done and what he's going to do, what his plans are. And I want revealed to me what the things that he's given to me and how he perceives things, how he views things. I don't fast and pray to try to get God to do nothing. What I need, I don't need to fast and pray to find out God. What I need to do is fast and pray to find out sometimes what the Word says because I have wrong thoughts and wrong believing about God. And what I do is I need that change. And sometimes you got to turn the flesh off a while before you can ever get that to change. You got to shut the flesh off and say, flesh, you aren't going to get what you wanted today. And that was lunch. You ain't going to get that today. Today you're not going to get lunch. I used to fast at Reese's. When I worked there, I used to fast lunch quite often. I'd go down and sit in the locker room. I'd fast just lunchtime. Just go down, get my Bible, go down and sit and read the Word. Just fast lunch. You know, and sit there and read the Word. You know how many revelations I got in the locker room at Reese's. Just sitting down, I'd pray and see, you know, I had a half an hour and I'd just sit down another half an hour. Not half an hour, I'd meet God. I had a vision took place in the locker room at Reese's Candy Company. It wasn't in some great holy church. It was in a locker room at H.B. Reese Candy Company. It was the first vision I ever had, and I had it in the locker room at H.B. Reese Candy Company. Went down just to seek God. I ain't going to have lunch today. I'm just going to go down. I want to seek God. And I got my Bible. I was looking at things, started asking God some questions, and I had a vision. Dear Lord, got my question answered. It was the most astounding thing. I didn't no more plan on having a vision. I didn't think, he could have talked to me, and that would have been fine, too. But I had a vision. And, you know, I didn't, you know, get caught away for 3 weeks and, you know, do anything. In that vision, I just saw the thing that I asked him a question about, and I saw what happened. He showed me way back in the creation of the world what he did and his plan was. And I saw that, and I tell you, just absolutely, it did revolutionize and change. I found this out about God. You don't ask the right questions. You know, don't be surprised. Many people are asking God questions, and the reason they don't get the answers they want, you're asking the wrong question. I learned over time what I really needed to know from God. I was asking things I didn't even really need to know. I thought it was pretty important for me at the time, but it wasn't important at all. You know, it's just like little children. Now, my grandson, there's things in his life that are just hugely important to him right at the second. But you know what? In real life, it ain't important at all. And sometimes, you know, but sometimes you have children, you have to deal with them a certain level, but sometimes you just got to stop and say, no, we ain't going that direction. That's just it, because that ain't what's important. That ain't where we're moving right now. You need to understand that God many times has to deal with us like that. You know, when we deal with the area of spiritual, and I just want to say this, if we deal with the area of spiritual development has nothing to do with age. You can be, you know, 200 years old and be a spiritual baby. And then on the other hand, you can be, you know, somebody could be 15 years old and be more spiritual, and I've seen it already. I've seen 15 years old people more spiritual than physical adults, have more spiritual keenness. So being older don't make you any more to the wise to understand spiritual things whatsoever, and you have to know that. You have to understand where you are in your spiritual development or you can't grow up. If you don't know that you're a spiritual baby, you'll never grow up. That's why some people spend their whole Christian life and never really grow up spiritually, because they think they are. I learned one time, I learned this. I ain't grown up yet. I ain't grown up yet. Dear Lord, if I ain't grown up yet, you're in trouble. Let's just be honest about it, folks. You know, you'll get the point. If you think you've arrived, you won't be going after it anymore. We got to keep the same hunger to go after things. And people lose that. They think they come to a place where they, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've arrived pretty well. I'm doing. And when a person's got there, you've already missed it. You're going nowhere. You always got to keep that hunger and a desire to know more. I don't care what I learn and what I know. It ain't near as much as I need to know. Hallelujah. There's always stuff, always things that I step into and I look at and I think, my God, where have I been? Hallelujah. God can give you one little revelation and you'll sit and look at it and think, oh my words, dear Lord, did I ever get saved? How could I be so stupid? How could I have missed this? But you know, if the Holy Ghost is not revealing, you don't know. You don't just find out because you read the Bible. I know people who read the Bible every day. And if they die today, they'll be lost forever in eternity because they've never been born again. There's people who religiously do things and they religiously do stuff. There's ministers that get up every Sunday and stand in front of people, read them scriptures, say, talk about Jesus. Have never been born again. I know a minister that wasn't born again. He was a minister in a church in Lebanon here. That guy could almost stand out. Sometimes I used to think he could almost quote the Bible. My God, he would stand there and quote scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And the man was so void of eternal life, he was void of it, let me tell you. Because in real life, he was a heathen. Well, he could stand there and tell you scripture after scripture. He could take a subject and man, he could just tell you scripture after scripture. People used to marvel and wonder at him, you know. Oh my, he had a great developed mind, but his heart stank. He said, I became a minister. He said, just because this is a vocation. You know, this is a job to me. This is a job. This is what I'm doing. It's a job I took. This is what I decided. This ain't nothing about God. And he's right. It was just a job that he took. And people just thought he had something because he could quote some scripture, so he must be pretty spiritual. And they took him. They were as dead as he was. They had as much death as he had. And they just went through, all everybody going through the routine together, all going to hell together. But see, we need to understand, it's just because we read things or we do things, you got to come to Christ. You must be born again. Then you must begin to seek God. You don't ever quit seeking God. Don't ever stop it. Now, I want you to see here, we're using scriptures. I want to go back over the scriptures that we used to opening before, because we're talking about the name of Jesus. And I want you to get this. This name belongs to you. If you're born again, you're a child of God, and you're born of God. This name belongs to you. It is yours. It's given to the church. It's the name. Hallelujah. You understand? You're part of the body of Christ. That's the whole point of we take communion. We don't take communion. Our communion isn't a fellowship from the standpoint of trying to, you know, be a buddy of Jesus. Our fellowship is we're one with Him. We're His body. He's the head. It's totally different. See, most people, when they think of the word fellowship, you know, we're having a fellowship meal afterwards. That's not the fellowship that the Bible's talking about when it talks about our fellowship. Communion ain't about lunch. You know, I was in a church, and one church that I was in for a while. God had me there. You're the pastor. He used to always, you have to take communion. You know, you have a meal and you take communion. And he'd say, oh, that's what they did in the New Testament. Well, Paul told them to eat their dinner at home. I read the New Testament. I wish he would have. But he got over there, the meal became more important than what they were doing. Because they weren't fellowshipping with God, it was more about the meal. The meal ain't got nothing to do with fellowship with God. You know, it's to remind us, you and I are one with God. We're one with God. I fellowship with people, but I ain't one with them. You know, the Bible talks about the union between the husband and wife. It says they become one flesh. That's one flesh, that ain't one in spirit. We're in one in spirit with God Himself. You're one in spirit with God Himself. If you're born again, child of God, you're one in spirit with God. Hallelujah. And that's what communion is, the reminder of us to that. We became in union with God. We're in fellowship with God. It ain't about lunch. It ain't about just talking with each other. But you sure have the right to talk to God. If you're in one with God, then you have the right to commune and talk to Him. You have a right to an answer from Him to speak back to you. If He don't, you're not in communion, are you? You aren't in fellowship. Could you imagine if we had a fellowship dinner with afterwards and we all got together to eat and nobody talked to each other? Nobody said anything. Well, that's the people who pray, and sometimes God answers and sometimes He don't. And they go through their stupid nonsense. Because why? They think it's just like, oh, my wife and I just had a fight. We don't talk to each other. So God must be mad at me and He ain't talking to me. I found out when I get my most ignorant, do the stupidest things that I do, God seems to come and talk to me the easiest because He's trying to get me back into fellowship again. He'll come to try to bring me back into union. Now, I don't mean that I'm lost, but I'm not having communion with Him. He wants to talk. He wants to fellowship. Hallelujah. Now, we use the scriptures in Philippians, and I'm going to read them again because I just like them so much. Philippians 2, and in the 9th chapter, start with it says, therefore, God has highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And I want to just show this because it's something the Holy Spirit gave emphasis to me in verse 11. First of all, in verse 3, so what are we're supposed to confess Jesus is Lord. He didn't say you just do that the time when you get saved. You know, you needed a constant confession of the Lordship of Jesus in your life. I'll tell you what, Ed Gibson needs a Lord. I didn't need a Lord just one day and I confessed Him. I need that Lord every day. Sometimes, did you ever get over where you start lording your own life? Have you ever done that, or is that just me? I've had days where I lorded and I need to stop and say, Jesus, I need a Lord. I've been out here lording and it ain't been going well. You need that some days. See, you need to get over there. See, most people, well, I accepted Jesus 30 years ago and they ain't talked to Him since other than begging for something. That's all they ever did to Him. His Lordship means nothing to most people. Most Christians, the Lordship of Jesus means nothing. But you need to understand this. Without His Lordship, you ain't going far. You have to yield to that Lordship. We Lordship. When this He says, why was He given us? We confess, He said, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. What? To the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord, so God's glorified. To the glory of God the Father. Understand, God is not glorified in the earth except through Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to let Jesus Lord in our lives, so Jesus is magnified through us. God is glorified. In Jesus' ministry, we see often Jesus is ministering, and it said the people glorified the God of Israel. They glorified God when they saw God manifest through Jesus Christ. It is the same way when Jesus Christ is allowed to manifest through us, God is glorified. This bit, you know, we're trying to glorify God just in what we say. Thank God. What I could say could bring glory to God, but also through deeds. In other words, the manifestation ain't just feeding the poor. You can feed the poor and never glorify God. If God didn't tell you to do it, instead of letting Jesus Christ manifest, and this is what, so God is glorified. God's glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why you and I want to walk in line. That's why I want this name that's above every name. That name was given the church. So we can take that name and minister under the authority of that name, and demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit of God would take place that would glorify God. That's what it's for. Any believer say, well, I don't have this gift, I don't have this gift. I never even focused on this, lot on the gift stuff, other than I know they exist, I know how they work. I totally believe this, any gift can manifest at any time through any individual. I've had, my, personally, in my life, I have had a manifestation of every gift of the Spirit at one time or another. Now, number one, there's ones that operate through me a lot more than others do. But at one time or another, I've had every one that manifested one time through me. But I've been sort of stupid about this. I didn't listen to what people said about it. I read the Bible and let the Holy Ghost teach me, and I found this out. I'd never got over into things and just trying to, I want to have this gift, or I want, and I, you know, God just uses me here. I always told God, God, whatever you want to do through me, just go right ahead. Give me a note, just tell me, and you know, the best that I understand how to yield to you, we'll let it work, okay? I never said, well, I got this gift and this is my gift over here. Ain't none of them your gift anyhow. They operate from God, so get over it. You know, these people say, well, I got a healing gift. No, you don't. That's a lie. You don't have one. If God ain't moving through it, you ain't got nothing. Hallelujah. The only reason this stuff manifests is Jesus. You get Jesus out of the picture. Most people want this stuff to get glory to themselves. Woo, look what a big deal I am. The whole thing of the manifestations of God or so Jesus are glorified. In Hebrews, the first chapter, starting at verse 1. In Hebrews, the first chapter says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, you are My Son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He said, let all the angels of God worship Him. I want you to understand something, a revelation that you need to understand. And what I want to talk to you about, the Holy Spirit has been, just one scripture has been stuck in me for the last couple of weeks. It's just been stuck there. And it just keep going over and over me. But I want you to see, we read in verse 6, it said, but when he again brought the firstborn into the world. He says, but when he again brought the firstborn into the world. Again, when he brought the first, again, he said, at that time, it says, in that time when Jesus was brought into the world, the firstborn was brought into the world again. The first time he's brought into the world, he's born. He was brought into the world again. When he was raised from the dead, he was brought into the world. At that time, it says, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Heaven didn't worship Jesus. Heaven worshiped the Father until that time. All authority in heaven and earth were given unto Jesus. All worship. Jesus always pointed worship and praise to him. When they called him a good teacher, he said, nobody's good but God. Jesus in the earth never, he didn't take worship in his faith. He always pointed worship to the Father. Something's changed. When Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, there's something changed. Everything. When he went in with to the holies of holies of heaven, when he went to that place and he sat down, after he made that redemption, he took that blood and put it on the holies of holies, things changed. Things are no longer the same, folks. At that time, heaven began to change under the order of the Father himself. The Father said to the angels, you worship him. Folks, we worship him. You and I are supposed to worship him. The firstborn, he came into the world. Remember, now we back up to verse 5. Verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you. See, everybody thinks today, they talk about the begotten son of God. They think that Jesus became the begotten son of God on the day that he was born into the earth. He was not. Jesus came into this earth. He always existed. He always was. He didn't become into existence the day that he was born into the earth. He just put on an earth suit. He just put on a physical body. But he was not became a new being. He was not a new being. See, this is the lack of the Christianity's understanding. People look at the physical all the time. It's always about the physical. I want to tell you what, when you die, your physical, that stinking thing rots. You know, we go put stuff in it, try to pump it to keep it looking good, put it in an airtight box, cause we're trying to be God and keep that thing looking good. I mean, it just looks so pretty. You open it up and there it is. I'll tell you what, it looks nice. You know, people are doing everything they can, but it ain't about the body. It's about the inner man. People die, their inner man goes to one place or the other. It goes to heaven or it goes to hell. There ain't any of those running around up here don't know where they belong at. You're watching these crazy shows and these people, all they do is they run into familiar spirits and they run these familiar spirits and they say, well, man, that spirit manifested. It looked like, you know, Uncle Harry. It might look like it wasn't Uncle Harry, folks. The devil can make himself look, demons can make themselves look like other things. Now, there's different ones of different power. Some of the lower level power ones, they can't do that. But there's ones with greater power. They can manifest themselves in different ways. And they're familiar. Understand this. They know people. They've been in this earth, been operating. People have been coming and going and dying, and they know. They know different individuals. They know what the person believed, what the person talked, what the person said. They've been living around them. And so people come along and they run into a spirit and say, well, this must be so-and-so. Yes. This is so-and-so living in the house. All they do is, you know, I was watching one of the shows and I had to laugh because the guys are dealing. I felt so sorry they're dealing with a murderer. And this guy, you know, this spirit knew things about the murder. Well, of course, that spirit was the one that was promoting the murder. Sure would know things about it. And these knuckleheads, well, oh, this is the guy, you know, and he's here, and, you know, he just, you know, he's wandering around up here and he can't, you know. It's like, get out of here. Now, how Christians, and if things get to me, how Christian be we? They'll say you die and go to heaven, and that same Christian will talk about, well, we just saw Grandma. She's, you know, we see her in the house, and Grandma's around, then she didn't go to heaven, did she? And you ain't going either, believing that nonsense. You know, people believe just idiocy things. They talk about going to heaven, then talk about all this other crazy stuff. We got to, you know, the church got to wake up. Become spiritual. Read the Bible someday instead of getting our theology from the world. You know, some guys running around with meters telling me what the devil's doing. My God, they're living with him. When people go in and take all this stuff is true. You know, these devils love it. Demons love this stuff. If you go play with them, they love it. You go play with this stuff, they love it. They'll manifest themselves around. You start doing things to yield to spirits to come in contact with them, I'll tell you, don't be surprised, you end up having one. You keep playing with them and the door will open one day. And I'll tell you what, that thing will move in. And you can't blame nobody but yourself. You don't play with demons. You don't mess around with that stuff. I only ever heard you cast them out, so that's what I do. You don't ever invite me over to see if there's a demon in your house, because if I come over, I'll throw him out. You won't have anybody to talk to after a while. You want anybody to tell your friends about. I know. I've had to throw them. When I got born again, I had invited them into my house. I had to go throw them out. And I just went and threw them out. We didn't have to go through. We didn't do no holy water. We didn't do any certain things. We didn't have a candlelight service and walk around with candles and then read the Bible. I didn't read the Bible one second. Walked in the door, said, devil, get out of my house in the name of Jesus and don't you come back here. And I went from room to room. Every demon, you get out of there. And these people say, well, you know, we went through the house reading scriptures. That ain't casting devils out. That's reading. My God, they'll get you a Bible. They'll buy you one if you'll keep doing dumb stuff. The devil don't care. You read the Bible. If you don't stand up in the name of Jesus and do something, they'll buy you Bibles, help you go to church, put gas in your car, as long as you don't irritate them much. Hallelujah. Good preaching. I don't know. Every once in a while I get excited. Hallelujah. But folks, people need to hear. We got enough of this crazy stuff going on out here. My God, throw them out. I don't want to hold conversations with the devil. You know, sometimes in dealing with a demon, you got to find out what their name is. You got to ask them their name before you can cast them out. There are certain ones, certain powers you have to deal with, but you need to understand it. You don't hold conversations with them. They talk beyond giving their name. You tell them to shut up in Jesus' name and come out. You don't talk further than that. I don't want to hold no discussion with devils or liars. Man, we got enough liars in this world without going around and trying to hook up directly with the father of lies. See, we need to get over and get into some right thinking. But dealing with this thing, with this Jesus, the only begotten Son, listen what Acts 13:33 says. Acts 13:33 says, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that He has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. When did He become the begotten Son of God? On the day that He was raised from the dead. On that day He became the begotten Son of God. On that day. I want to say this to you because there's things that I'm reading here. Well, let me quick read. Hebrews 5:5 says this. So also Christ did not glorify Himself to become the high priest, but it was He who said to Him, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. What did He say? He didn't glorify Himself. The glorification of Jesus took place in His resurrection. In that day, He became the begotten, the only begotten Son of God. At that time, He was the only one who was born from the dead. Not raised from the dead, born from the dead. You need to understand that. The raising of Jesus' body was nothing without Him first being born from the dead. Jesus died with our sin and was born again. That's why if Jesus wasn't born again, then you can't be born again. He can't give you what He ain't got. You're born again because He was born again. The Jesus that you serve today and the Jesus that the name of Jesus you use, that name did not have its place nor its authority till after He was born again. Even though while He walked, understand, He walked in this earth and He gave disciples authority to use Him, His name. But you need to understand that. I've learned how to do it. I've let people be around me and use my authority already. What I have, they could operate in, but it was only because of me. But if they ain't around me, they can't operate in it. Jesus did something absolutely God. Well, let's say the Father did something through Jesus that absolutely changed everything. When Jesus was raised from the dead and was born again, and you and I could become born again, Jesus no longer had to stay in the earth. Jesus could go sit at the right hand of the Father. And anybody who believed in Him was entitled to operate under that name because you're born again. If Jesus would not have, if Jesus, like a lot of people, Jesus went down there, He died and He was raised from the dead just to forgive us of our sin. That's what the church preaches all the time. It's the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin is a worthless thing without the new birth. It means nothing without the new birth. The new birth is what makes it work. If you didn't get born again, if you haven't passed from death unto life, like the scripture said, all the forgiveness of sin is worthless, you'd still go to hell. The forgiveness of sin don't keep you out of hell. The new birth does. It's the new birth keeps you out of hell. It's not the forgiveness of sin. And see, we need to get over and get our theology straight. This Jesus, the day He became the begotten Son of God, you need to understand, this Jesus that was raised from the dead, at that time, the name became, got its value and became what it was upon that period of time when that happened. When He went and turned around, took His blood, and He went into the holies of holies, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the Father said, all heaven and earth, every being in heaven and earth is going to have to bow down to You. At that time, at that period, anybody, they're going to have to confess that You're Lord. At that time, that name became what it is. At that time, He said, all the angels, you worship Him. At that time, the value of that name started. Nobody got born again till after that time, yet His name was here, wasn't it? Well, if I just made it happen, if it was just that, why didn't it? And you need to understand this, because we as Christians today, most of Christianity follows the Jesus of the Gospels and does not follow the Jesus who is resurrected. Most Christians only know the Jesus that walked the earth. You know that Jesus was a man? He didn't operate as God. The Word tells us He didn't. It says He laid down that prerogative. Most people today follow a man. I'm going to tell you what, I'm following God. I'm following God. The Jesus that I follow is not the same Jesus that walked the earth. The Jesus that walked the earth didn't have the authority that the Jesus has today. There's a difference. I want you to read your scripture. This is the scripture. Just been going over me for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I get to preach it now. I talked a little bit about it on Tuesday morning. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 17, I want you as you get the revelation of this scripture. You know, there's things you need to meditate on. Too many times we meditate on problems, we're meditating on things, we're meditating on trying to get healed, or trying to get this, or trying to get that. We're meditating on stuff. Listen to what this says. 1 John 4, 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And why? Now listen, why? Because as He is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say as He was. The church is trying to be the Jesus that walked the earth instead of being the Jesus that sits at the right hand of the Father. It says as He is, so are we in this world. We're as He is. Now, was that just a nice statement thrown in there, put in there just to, whoa, is it that nice? Or is it true? Is that really true? It says, as He is. You know, the real Ed Gibson, the born again Ed Gibson, is just like Jesus is. You ain't going to ever grow up till you start believing what the Bible says. Religion keeps people over worshiping the man Jesus instead of the Jesus. The Jesus that sit at the right hand of the Father, He's Lord and God of heaven. All heaven answers to Him. All earth will answer to Him one day, but every demon sure answers to Him. And we've been given that name, the name, the authority of the name of the risen Jesus, not that nice little name of He was just Jesus down there, Mr. Nazareth, you know, lived down there on the corner of 741 Olive Branch Road or whatever, you know. That's the most of the Christian world. That's their Jesus. That's their Jesus was a man. That Jesus was just like any human being walking the earth. If God didn't move through Him, nothing happened. My Jesus ain't like that today. My Jesus is calling the shots in heaven. My Jesus has all authority. My Jesus, without His name, no prayers get answered. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what they do. Prayers don't get answered except in that name. That's my Jesus. My Jesus is the one with all authority. As He is. As He is. How's Jesus right now? Does He have any sickness? Gee. He's pretty poor up there in heaven. They're grumbling around wondering, my God, are we going to have lunch? You should see what the angels ate yesterday. My God, they ate the place out and we hardly have a thing left. My God, I don't know if I can believe God for, you know, a new car because, you know, these other things out here, you know, times are tough. You know, Washington, oh man, and our economy's really bad. And you know, I know He's God, but hey, I'm just here. you know, I just put my pants on in the morning like everybody else. I don't. I put pants on, but I don't put them on acting like Mr. and Mrs. Poverty. I don't put them on acting like, oh, things are so bad and expecting them not to go right. Worried about Washington and worried about this and worried about that. Hallelujah. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus don't ever get up in the morning worrying about nothing. You know, we act like heathens and he don't even worry about it. We act stupid and he don't even worry about it. Because if he worries about it, he's worse off than I am. He's God. But as he is, so are we in this world. See, there's things you need to meditate on. You not need to go over till that becomes real to you. See, so many people, they're trying to become something instead of seeing they are something. Christians are trying to become holy. They're trying to do all, they don't see that themselves as they are. They live unholy lives because they believe they're going to live unholy lives. You know, what am I? I'm not Jesus. I ain't God. Who are they? You know, huh? Look at me. I'm just down here. My words, you know. You know, God, if God wouldn't have gave us the wonderful gift of doctors, where would we be? Oh, my God. Ah. Look, I'm not against doctors, but I'm sure against the way people believe about them. I'm against it because it's destroying us. We have much more faith in our nation and in physical things than we do in God. And even in the church world. But as he is. It says as he is, not as he was. I tell you, the Jesus I'm serving, he's in charge. The guy who's in charge of heaven said, Ed, go. Ed, go and take my name. Ed, go. He said it to you too. And everybody's waiting to find out what ministry they got. My God, they don't even believe that they're like him. You ain't going to be doing nothing. The church is waiting for them. We're trying to have all these. I've went to them at times. I used to do street ministry years ago. Did quite a bit of street ministry when I first started off in Christianity. I did a lot of stuff going places and doing street ministry. Go out. I'd go down the areas and places and stuff where there was gangs and things. But, you know, we'd get down. I was just crazy as crazy. Didn't bother me none. I went down there with Jesus. I was just sort of stupid. Thought Jesus was around. You know, I had all these preachers would tell you, you didn't get a wild witness to people. I'd go down to some of them places. You know, the first thing those same preachers are telling you supposed to go down there, you be careful. And I said, what I need to do is be careful of you. Because if I hang around you, I'm going to end up be Mr. Unbelief like you are. You know, they preached for you to go, but when you're supposed to go, you're supposed to go to the guy that's placed that he ain't going to do nothing. Hallelujah. I was treated better by people in gangs than I were by church people. I'm serious. I was on the street. I preached to gang members that were more respectful of me than Christians are. Because, you know, I went down and preached the gospel. I went to preach the gospel. One reason to them, I loved them. I didn't go down there and look at them and say, you know, you're a bunch of scumbags, because I was a scumbag. Just, geez, if I wouldn't have got saved, I'd been doing what they was doing. I just never got caught at a lot of things. They got caught for it. I just didn't get caught at it. But you go down there and preach to them, and I'd go down and I'd preach to them. I'd just talk about Jesus. Tell them God loved them. Say, God will save you, deliver you. God wants you to have a better life, you know. You might be living thinking things are good, but everything's going to run out. I know. I lived long enough to find that out before I got saved. Things were running out. And you start knowing things are running out. And but you're preaching to them. People, you know, had respect. But there's one thing. Is I could go. I didn't have to be afraid. I didn't have to fear. First mission trip I went on to was down in Peru. And at that time, they had what was called that communist insurgency, where they were called something of light or something of earth. It was a communist insurgent. They were doing a lot of terrorist activity and stuff going on down there. And so going down to Peru and told some people we're going down there. And I said, aren't you concerned? Did you pray? Did you pray? What? You go down. Do you hear the news? What's going on down there? I know these people and I know this. God can't send them there. He can't send them there because the news media said don't go. No matter what God says, you know, I got to protect myself. I can't, I'm going to tell you folks, I'm willing to die for this gospel. I'm willing to die for it. I think it's valuable enough. I'd rather die for the gospel and live to be a mediocre Christian for 150 years. I'd rather be dead preaching the gospel than be a mediocre Christian. I'm just telling you, I hate mediocre Christianity. I despise it. It's the worst kind of Christianity there is because it makes people feel that they're safe in their sin. And it lets the sinner think he's safe in his too. Woo! My words. We don't jump any pews over, but you need to know that. Mediocre Christianity just don't get it. It don't. I lived for 30 years around many mediocre Christians and hated every second of it and hated every one of them that lived it. Hallelujah. There's one thing that's about the people knew when I get born again. This kid ain't mediocre. He's nuts. Jesus saved me and I like him. I'll tell you, my devotion is to him. Ain't nobody else could have saved me. Nobody else could have done for me what he did. And I owe nothing to nobody else. What I got preached to me was only because of his goodness. If they wouldn't have been anointed by him, I wouldn't have heard that. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. And we got this Jesus. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. See, that's why the Apostle Paul, in his preaching, the Apostle Paul had in Ephesians, the first chapter, a prayer. Paul talked about a revelation. John says, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. Where? When we get to heaven? In this world. So are we, as he is. I'll tell you, get home, get in front of a mirror. Or just, you know, get in your car and quick turn the mirror over. As he is. That guy, that person, I'm like that in this world. Me. As he is. Today, people want a big revelation. They want a new revelation. My God, I wish somebody would get a hold of the old revelations. That's what we need. We need to find out these things. It's been there in the scriptures all the time. I've heard people quote it while they lived in unbelief. Well, as he is, so are we in this world, grumbling and groaning. He's up there in heaven looking down saying, oh my, I tell you what, the devil's going to take over everything. I don't know if I'm going to be able to down there straighten anything out. Oh, it's so bad down there. Did you see what the devil did? Hey, Dad, look over here. Oh, and the father's up there going, oh my words, what are we going to do? Oh, there ain't no fear in heaven. Jesus looks down there and says, you know what I said is going to happen? It's going to take place. What I told my people I'd do for them, I'll do for them. I don't care what the devil's doing down there. I told my people I'd do these things for them. If they'll believe me, I'll do it. It don't change. The word don't change because our nation changes. The word don't change because things around you. We were singing this morning a song about what? I'm not moved by circumstances. Can you really say that? By faith? I'm sorry. We can sing this up and we can do a little jig doing it. It don't matter. Shall I tell you what? Heaven ain't moved by circumstances. They don't care. You might be out there on a limb and looks like everything in life is going to go on to you. Heaven is not moved at all by that circumstance. The only thing that moves heaven is the Word. If you're in faith with God in deliverance, God is going to deliver you. I don't care if it looks like the devil has the branch sawed through and you're in the midst of falling. It don't matter. The word's true or not. Is Jesus who he said he is? Or is this all a bunch of lies and you were just going through the rigmarole? Are we? We have to make these decisions. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Now, in the first chapter, he wrote to them and a prayer he prayed for them. And really, this prayer is in line. It's a revelation that he wants the church to understand. It's the revelation that John said, as he is, so are we in this world. Listen to what he prayed. Verse 15 starts off and says, in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is it? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of our Lord Jesus. You know who you worship? You don't worship just God. You're supposed to be worshiping the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father, he said, of glory. This God, he's the Father of glory. We distinctively set our God apart. Any other God that doesn't have Jesus Christ named in it, it ain't his. Whoever is in the spotlight of their so-called religion, it ain't Jesus Christ, then you're looking at a wrong God. I don't care who says God. I run into people who say they're Christians and use the term God, and I know they ain't Christians. Because they have no more faith in Jesus Christ. They have never received Jesus Christ. They talk about God. No. He said, what do I do? He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, what's he want to give to him? He's praying and asking Jesus Christ, really, the Father, now understand this, you have a right to ask for this. You have every right to ask for it. We can pray this prayer for ourselves. Anything that I ask in Jesus' name, the Father will give me. So what is he saying? I'm praying for the Father to give to you. I wonder if God, if they did it. I wondered if Paul's prayer got answered. Do you ever wonder? He prayed for them. Well, what if I pray and it don't work? Well, you just quit praying. Don't even bother. What did he say? Because this, he said, what? I'm praying the Father to do this. Jesus said this, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll do it for you. So it settles the fact. Now maybe people decided not to receive it. Or they could receive it. I believe Paul put this prayer in the writing. The Holy Spirit did. Number one is to give it to us, but also for that church, so they would receive that prayer. Because they need to receive that prayer. If you don't receive this prayer, if you don't learn this, you won't get this revelation. You need to receive this, because there's something you need. What he asked for? He asked for, he says, he wants the Father, in Jesus' name, to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Of who? Jesus Christ. You need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, the wisdom, understand this, you need, he didn't say you just need knowledge. You can have knowledge and no wisdom. Wisdom is the ability. Wisdom comes from heaven. This is why in the earth, why we have so much mess up. That's why down in Washington, they can't do anything. There's no wisdom down there. You can't shut God out. The school systems can't work throwing God out. Wisdom comes from God. You're just giving people information, but they can't do nothing with it. It means nothing. Wisdom can only come from God. So you can dump billions and trillions of dollars in an educational system. You might as well just flush the toilet. Because it's not going to work. Because wisdom comes from God. And until man recognizes God, and you cannot recognize God without Jesus Christ, the Father of Heaven is not going to respond to you except through Jesus Christ. He don't come just because you're any religion. He don't care if you're a Jew. He don't care. The only guarantee of answered prayer is through faith in the name of Jesus. That's the only guarantee. You need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. You need spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge that must be revealed to you. Information may not be really from the standpoint of anything as revelation or wisdom to you at all. You know, most people, it's today. I see people do this all the time. They buy something and a book comes with it on how you operate it. And 99% of people don't ever read the book. They don't ever read the operation manual. And I always love it when people, they get something and they come to you and want to know how it operates. You got the book. You got the book, lazy. I know this. People that do that do it with the Bible too. They're waiting all the time for somebody to preach to them to tell them what's going on. Do you realize, folks, I wouldn't hardly know a thing if I waited for somebody to preach to me. I'm going to tell you what. Most of you are pretty lazy. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have to dig up stuff for yourself. You're going to have to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're going to have to receive one from heaven. If you could just sit and have somebody pour it into you, this prayer is a worthless thing. Who'd need it? It don't happen. You know, they used to talk about, I remember some years back, they used to talk about people, they used to say, hey, people are going to all these meetings and hearing all this revelation. And they said they're just really sort of spiritually getting fat and lazy. Or just listening, thinking they're, because I hear stuff. You know, faith comes by hearing, but faith does not grow by hearing. You can hear all you want, and it don't ever grow your faith. Faith comes to you, but faith grows by doing. Exercise and stuff is how it works. If you don't do what the Word says, you don't put it into practice, it don't matter. You can sit and say, well, faith came, yeah. But it's a weak faith. It just, yeah, I heard that. That's nice. Boy, was that ever really a good. Boy, that was great. I just heard this guy give a testimony about how God healed him, delivered, and that stuff. And then you run into them and they'll say, oh, this was absolutely wonderful. Well, when you get sick, do you practice that? You'll find out most of the time, no, I don't do that. I just like to hear the testimonies about what God did through somebody else. I came into Christianity, I was just like this. If I couldn't get it happening to me, I didn't want it. I don't want to hear nobody's story about a great God that does great things and I can't get it. If I can't have it, what's the point? What is the point if I can't have it? I don't need a testimony of somebody telling me God's great and I can't have it. If I can't have it, work in it, God ain't going to do it for me. Who cares? I can put my time better to something else that I could get working. Wouldn't it make more sense? Most Christians today are just happy to hear what somebody else or some great so-called revelation or great... I want it working good! I want to be healed! I want to be delivered! I would like to have me have a little bit of a testimony instead of listening to somebody else's. I want to have it when things go bad. I stop and say, God, I remembered when I'm back so many years ago and I ran into this situation. This is what you did for me. And I don't stop and say, well, Lord, you know, you helped that other guy over there. What about me? Maybe you'll help. How about helping me? So you have no testimony. We're all supposed to have testimonies of the glory of God. Just think of the children of Israel. If they wouldn't have had testimonies of God coming out of Egypt, God kept saying, go back to the past, remember what I did. Well, if God never did nothing for you, you ain't got no past to go to. You're supposed to have a past to go to. The church is always supposed to have a past to go to and say, God delivered me here. I remember when I was this and he turned me into that. I'll tell you, many times I go back to the day I was born again. The heathen I was, alcoholic, mean-spirited, just ugly, you know, acting. Got born again. God changed my life. I'll tell you, that was miraculous. Hallelujah. But I was preached to that if I got saved, it would be a miraculous change. Most people today, all I got was forgiveness of sin. Why? Because you were preached the wrong gospel. You never heard the truth. I was told if I accepted Jesus, I'd turn into another person. Woo! They didn't lie. Hallelujah. They didn't lie to me. See, I got what I believed. Well, you just got forgiveness of sin. So what's a person believe? Well, all I got is forgiveness of sin. I want to wait for something to happen. See if it does anything. Forgiveness of sin won't change your life. The new birth will. Glory to God. The new birth will change your life. Hallelujah, it'll make you into something that you weren't. That name of Jesus works, folks. You need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he said, now, look at this. He went on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, your understanding needs some light turned on to it. In other words, what you think you know, you need some light. What you think you know, you ain't got enough light yet. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'll tell you what, there's stuff I need more light on. There's stuff I need to be able to see and understand, comprehend better. There's stuff that I do in the place that I walk in sometimes and things, you know, and really I'm blessed to a point in it, but I just know there's more to be had and understood because I just know inside of me I'm not walking in the fullness of where I need to be in that. In other words, turn some light on. I need some light. I need some light. I want you to know I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. I have it. You know why I have it? Because the Bible said, why would you pray for something and then believe you don't got it? See, well, I prayed that, but I don't know. So it seemed nothing changed. I don't care if anything seems to change. You ain't going to get me to talk different than the Bible. I asked for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him in the name of Jesus, and I got it. Hallelujah. And it's proved itself out over the years. I tell you, sometimes it don't seem like I'm hearing or grabbing a thing, but I never change what I say. I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. I'm a person. I have a spirit of faith. I so easily believe. Hallelujah. You need to start talking the right things about yourself. You need to start saying the right things. You don't say the right things. You keep talking what the world says and what religion keeps pumping out today about us. Oh, just, you know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And it's all this feely-touchy Christianity. It's all this candlelight stuff with kumbaya junk. You know, that's all we got. You know. I mean, the best the Christians can do if somebody gets killed is go get a candle out and burn a set out there and say, oh, we're getting to know. This is really meaningful. The most meaning they'd get out of it is some of that wax would fall in their hand and burn them. That's the most excitement you'd get out of the thing. They don't learn a thing. They don't know. They don't know nothing. See, we got to get out of this religion and get over to this life. So you need your understanding enlightened. Really, your understanding. This is dealing with your spirit. In fact, there are some translations translated the eyes of your heart being enlightened. That's where you need the enlightenment in your spirit. You need a revelation on the inside of you. You need a revelation that inner man can walk in. Because that's the power of your life. The power of your life is on the inside. It's not what's on the outside. The power of your life ain't your brain. Psychology teaches it is. And that's what schools do. Well, you know, you get information, you get smart, your mind, and the power of knowledge. Knowledge has no power unless it's working on the inside. I learned this a long time ago. People wonder why some people have power. Adolf Hitler, he didn't have mental power. He had spiritual power. He was demon-possessed. And he worked with the power of the Spirit out of his spirit and influenced people, and people followed him. Jesus Christ, it sure wasn't who he was as the physical man. They killed that body. It's who he was on the inside. The deliverance. Jesus physically didn't go to hell for me, but His Spirit did. And He was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And now He sits, hallelujah, that glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's sitting in heaven, that I'm seated in heavenly places with. That one, not that one that was walking down here, that one that's in heaven today. That one I'm seated with. The God of glory. Hallelujah. That's the one I'm like. Woo! Hallelujah. That's who we're like. My God, get you excited. I don't know. Hallelujah. Well, He wants you enlightened. Your inner man, get enlightened. To what is the hope of His calling? Now listen. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? Now what's this mighty power? Here's what He wants. This is the revelation He wants you to get. Which He worked in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead. Not the power that He worked in Jesus when He preached and ministered in the earth. It's the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is what God, when that took place, God made Him King of Heaven. Hallelujah. He wasn't King of Heaven before that. The power that worked through Him before that couldn't do that. It's the resurrection power. Made Him King of Heaven. Gave Him that place of a name above every name. Hallelujah. Now that name of Jesus, you just use it. Glory to God. You turn that name loose. Hallelujah. He said the working, but He raised the Christ from the dead. What? And seated Him His right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that's named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet. Gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Which is His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Who is the fullness of Jesus? The church! As He is, so are we. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul wants them to get a revelation of who they are. He matches the church up with Jesus. The church is the fullness of Jesus Christ. The church is the fullness of Jesus Christ. That name, which is above every name, that name, the glory of that name, has seated you and I through faith in that name, had the power to take somebody who's lost in sin, who belongs to the devil, to be resurrected into a new life, become a new spiritual being, to be a child of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that as He is, so are you in this world. That's what it did. That's what the name did. That's what the name did. Believing on that name, that's what it does. You pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. You may have been beaten down over the years. People told you a lot of things. I'll tell you what, I was called a lot of things. A lot of things were said. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe what the Bible says about me. Hallelujah. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe I'm the righteousness of God. Say, well, maybe you don't always act righteous. I ain't changing my voice. I'll never get straightened out till I start calling me what I am. You're a child of God. You're born of God. As He is, so are you in this world. If you don't live up to it, it don't matter. You still are. Whether you live it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference. The word's still true. The word says, by His stripes you're healed. You can walk and live in this earth and let the devil kill you. It don't matter. It don't change. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. It don't change. It don't change that He took my sin on the cross. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it looks like it needs forgiven immediately. It doesn't matter. But He took my sin on that cross. The Bible says so. It's a settled fact. It's a settled fact that I'm blessed with every blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It's a settled fact. It doesn't matter if I ever live in it. The fact's still true. It doesn't matter. So many people today are walking and living in such a low level. I think it was Schofield was the guy that turned around and went into the slums in London and went in and found a woman who was living in the slums. That they went down, she was dying, and they went to see this lady, and she had, I told this before, she went in and she had a picture that was had a frame in the wall, and it was a document was in there. This woman was either, she couldn't read or anything like that, or she was uneducated. And he walked up and looked on the wall, it's a true story, he looked on the wall and he saw this thing up there. He said to this lady, he said, where did you get this? She said, I worked for a lady. She said, for like, 40 some years. and said, as her servant in her house, that she's a very wealthy, she was a wealthy, you know, one of the lords or ladies, you know, of England at that time, very wealthy. She said, when she died, she gave that to me. And she said, she was so nice to me. She loved me. She said, I always cherished that. She didn't know what it said. He asked her, he said, can I please take that? He said, I promise I'll bring it back to you. She said, yeah, as long as you bring it back. And he took it and checked out. And here for years, they had been looking for this lady's will. And this was the lady's will. This woman has been living down in a slum, and she's been living down there, you know, in a tin and old, you know, slapped together wood shack. She's down there living in that place, and the whole time, what was already provided for her was a home, enough money to live a very good life. And everything was given to her, but she didn't know it. See, it don't matter what's written in the book. What's written in the book ain't going to fall on you just because it's written in the book. You got to believe it. The devil will tell you, religion will stand up and tell you that's not yours. The religion will stand up, God don't heal everybody. Well, he heals Ed every time. So I must be better than everybody else. No, I ain't better than everybody else. My God is better than all this junk they talk about him. He's 1,000 times better. The Lord that I worship is more than the Lord that was in the Bible that walked the street. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That's the one that I'm like. I'm like him. You're just like him. When you got born again, you became just like him. Hallelujah. You don't have to develop to become like him. You became as he is the day you got born again. Hallelujah. And maybe it's the first time you're hearing about it. Well, I'll tell you, I'm telling you today so you can find out that you are, if you're born again, you are like him. Hallelujah. You're not trying to be like him. It says you are. If you start believing you are, it'll change your life. You just keep doing it like the world does through the 12-step programs and most of the church doing today, trying to be changed through 12-step programs. I'll tell you, I'll be changed by the steps in the Bible. I'll be changed by finding out what the Bible says I am. I'm not a drunkard anymore. I used to be a drunkard, but this born-again man ain't a drunkard. The drunkard died when I got born again. He's dead. The drunkard is dead. Anybody got born again? They ain't what they were. If you're what you were then, what did it do any good to get born again? I didn't get born again so I could live in sin. That'd be dumb. Hallelujah. I got born again. Hallelujah. I'm not a drunkard anymore. Hallelujah. It don't matter. I could go sit down by a guy who would sit down and he can drink as much whiskey as he wants. And I'd sit there with him and I'd drink whiskey with him. And it don't matter to me. Why? Because I'll tell you, I couldn't have done it years ago. I just took a bottle from him. You know. But that man died. I became a new creation. I'm a new creation. You want to change your life? Become a new creation. Become a new creation. Start saying the right stuff. Quit repeating after, you know, all the things. Man, we all got faults. And some of them ain't good, but they'll get changed. They get changed when we begin to confess who and what we really are. When we begin to talk about who and what we really are. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We need to begin to start talking. We need to try as he is. I tell you, I'm as well as Jesus is. I'll tell you, the devil will come along and say, no, you need to get sick. No, I'm not. As he is, so am I. I'm him right now in this world. Jesus ain't hacking with the flu. It ain't either. Say, no, I'm sorry. We not going there. As he is, so are we in this world. Things will try to come on you. Things will try to happen to you. They'll try to get you to accept the way things are. We're living in a world system where most of the church people are going to try to get you to accept just the way things are. They're going to try to get you to accept it. You know, just, well, this is the way it is. This is just life. This is real life. Whenever you hear a person use that term, this is real life, you need to get away from them and quit hanging around them because they're being used by the devil to destroy people's lives. This is real life. They use those terms they've become today and they'll do nothing but talk down on you. You're just like everybody else. No, you're not. If you're born again, you're not like everybody else. My God, you're one of God's prized packages. Don't treat yourself like you're, you know, just ordinary. You're not ordinary. My words, God's children, there's nothing ordinary. Would God just want to go spend eternity with ordinary? Is that what he just wants? Hallelujah. He ain't going to spend eternity with ordinary. Glory to God. We need to see ourselves like he made us. As the way we are. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. I might be down in this earth walking, but I have the authority to, in my life of the one that I'm like. Hallelujah. that one that I'm like, he gave me his name. Hallelujah. He gave you his name. Why? Because you're like him. Hallelujah. You're just like him. Glory to God. If you could just see, you got to get eyes. This is where the revelation of God, the light comes and you start seeing who you really are. Oh, my, my, my. I'll never forget getting Brother Hagin listening to teaching and him and talking about who we were in Christ. I remember the first time that I heard that teaching. My words, I'd just come unglued. I mean, my words, he talked so nice, I'd have to get up, go look in the mirror, see, is that the guy he's talking about? Is that the man? I'd go back and listen to us do it some more. Think, oh my God, this is too good to be true. It was wonderful hearing, you know, but it gave me hope to live something I could never live before. But you know what? If you don't have that, if you see yourself like everybody else, you see yourself in your weaknesses and your frailties, and those are the things that you measure yourself by, you'll stay there. You'll never rise above it. These wonderful things were put in the book is so you could believe them. And if you will believe them, I'll guarantee you, you'll end up finding something strange is going to happen. You'll get believing it. And the next thing you know, you'll find yourself living it. And then you'll find yourself becoming it. Hallelujah. That's how it works. It don't work by, I'll become it, then I'll say I am that. No, we say we are that. You know, it's one thing is I found out about people that are wealthy. People who get wealthy, the reason most of them get wealthy is because they don't do what people that want to be wealthy do or anything else. They never see themselves as not wealthy. They never treat themselves as if they're not wealthy. They can go under in a business and they'll just go start another one and make money. Most people, all they want to do is go after somebody else who makes the fortune and go, I'll go work for him. It's how they view themselves. See, they see themselves and they don't view themselves in the same way that the person does. Poor people, I've often, poor people, it's hard to get them ever out of being poor because that's all they are. They talk poor all the time. They see themselves and that's their image of themselves. And you know what? They become exactly what they believe they are. They don't see themselves as succeeding. See, that's where the Word of God revolutionized my life. Ed didn't have any good look at himself at all. And that's why he's hearing the right gospel preached and not just some religious person standing up talking, using scriptures. Because when I saw through the Word of God, when it was preached right, I could see I was a different person. I wasn't like I was. It changed me not to view myself like I was. See, I had that mental image of myself when I got born again of what I was. But I needed to hear what right, because you know what? That mental image that I had of me wasn't true anymore. That wasn't true. When I got born again, the Bible said I was a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, see, most people, they don't even expect anything to become new. They just, well, we're just down here doing our best to one day we die and go off to heaven. You know, just barely off to heaven. There's two demons hanging on our legs trying to pull us away where the angels are trying to get us to heaven. And that's the thought. That's the thought of people, you know. They're walking and living that. I mean, I lived in that. And I lived in that kind of Christianity. I'd stand up and get a testimony for Jesus. And their testimony was, you know, pray for me that I might prove true and faithful to the end. See, my God, was that a testimony or was that a, oh my God, I'm going to hell, help me! You know, as a kid, I had to listen to that stuff. I had to listen to Christians sit around and talk about, oh, you know, somebody died in the family, God killed him. I had to listen to all that nonsense. I had to listen to all that craziness. You know, God's doing the killing on him. You know? Listen, I mean, I heard as a kid growing up all the time, good die young. Well, I figured you live like hell if you want to stay around a while. Because you don't want to start acting good. God will kill you if you act good, then he tells you to act good. Insanity. You don't believe how much of that sticks in you, and if you don't deal with it, how much of that gets in you, and you don't deal with it, you got to deal with those things. You got to deal with the way you think, and the way you deal with it. Hear what the Bible says is true about you. If the Bible tells you that you're something, then you need to start saying that. I believe this with all my heart. It's a sin not to. I believe if you're saying about you what ain't true, you're a liar, last time I heard. Why would you lie about yourself? We may do something wrong and we may confess our sin for it. That don't make me a sinner. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And no matter what happens or goes on, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I've been separated from the world. I've been set in the kingdom of God. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what I am. I've been made holy. Hallelujah. So you start saying the right things about yourself. You start speaking because it's the truth. You know, you don't become not the righteousness of God just because you missed the mark. You may have missed the mark and you may be walking in an unrighteous spot. That don't mean even that your spirit even agreed with it. You might be over just in the flesh and your flesh got you overdoing things you wish you'd never done. I've done that. Guilty as charged. But I've learned. Confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of that unrighteous act. Now, it didn't mean that it wasn't the righteousness of God anymore. It's about the cleansing from the unrighteous act that I did. See, unrighteous acts will cause you to lose fellowship with God, not from His part, but from your part. You can't live in sin and not feel guilty toward God. You will. When I do wrong, you know what happens? Guilt, flash, it isn't because God has this meter up there that He flips a switch on and goes, guilty head, guilty head, guilty head. No, that's my own inner man saying, you know, what's the matter with you knuckleheads? You know better than that. That's my own inner man saying, no, that's wrong. Don't you do that. Why? Because my inner man wants to stay in union and walk in that wonderful fellowship with God. That's what it wants to do. That's its desire. That's the real me. That's the real you inside of you. You don't need the devil. You know, the devil may sit in your shoulder, but you don't need an angel sitting in your shoulder to tell you to do right. You're born of God. You got a new spirit in you that's like God, and the Holy Ghost moved in. You got the greatest alarm system in the world, and it's living right inside of you. You know, you don't go out here and do something wrong, and the Holy Ghost said, well, that's it, I'm moving out. Takes his bags and goes out. Then you get it straightened out, and then he comes back. Okay, I'll move in again. We got a lot of crazy ideas in Christianity. But I could just encourage you to say about yourself what God says about you. You're precious to God. To down yourself and to talk about yourself just to be like everybody else, you're downing yourself. You're not talking about... Jesus did all He did so you could say these things about yourself. He did all these things to make you. He did what He did. He took you with Him to seat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not to go up there and grovel at His feet. That's what the church does. It grovels at His feet instead of sitting on the throne. Thank God, I appreciate everything Jesus did. But to me, it's a slap in the face for me to grovel at the throne like I'm a nobody when He made a place for me to sit in heavenly places. When He gave me a place of authority that I can overcome, hallelujah, that I can stand against anything that the devil brings to me. I can go through no matter what comes in life, hallelujah. I can have the victory over, hallelujah. I can be more than a conqueror. I can be, that's what the Bible says. It tells us to. And why does He tell us? Because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Get up off down there groveling around the throne. Quit trying to hide out back just to make it into heaven. Get up on the throne. As He is, so are we. The Church of Jesus Christ has missed it big time through the centuries. We've become a cross religion. We're supposed to be a resurrection. We're a throne religion. We're not a cross. The cross is a place the Bible says is sin and shame. And that's where the church has lived, in sin and shame. Don't you be one of them anymore. Don't you do that anymore. Get on the throne. Hallelujah. Get on the throne. Christianity is a throne religion. It's not a cross religion. That's why I don't go around. I don't glorify the cross. I preach the cross. Jesus died on that cross. Thank God if He wouldn't, we'd be in big trouble. But Ed didn't stay at the cross. Ed went to the tomb, and hallelujah, where there was resurrection, and I left there and went to the throne. Glory to God. And I've been on the throne ever since. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been flying those eagle wings, you know, we're singing about. You're supposed to be above something. Hallelujah. We're not groveling down around here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus died on the cross. I don't have to. Why hang on? Lord, singing song, keep me near the cross. I don't want to be kept near an old cross. I have never met any Christian group that stays near the cross that ever lives in any victory. They never do. There are the groups that don't believe in healing. They don't believe in time. They don't believe in nothing. They believe you just get saved and try to hang on. Lord, oh my God, hey, pray for me that I might make it. How are we going to win a world if we don't think we can make it? I'm going to tell you what, Ed's going to heaven and we get up a busload now. It don't matter, but I want people to know where I'm going, and I know where I'm going, and I got the message for them to take them there too. I don't have to stand up and ask you to pray for me so I don't get to heaven, just so I can make it to heaven. That's stupidity. You want to pray me again? You might pray for me to help so I walk right while I'm here. But you want to pray me? I'm getting to heaven, folk. I ain't hanging on. Jesus done hung on to me. He got a hold of me good. I don't have to hang on. Hallelujah. He got a hold of you good. He got you born again. That was good enough. You're already seated in heavenly places. He ain't thrown you out, has he? Well, hallelujah. It's a good chance you'll end up there. Amen? Glory to God. Let's talk like we're going to heaven. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah.